You know, like a developing bad relationship, I have to ask the question, what happened to us? There was a time where we all got along. We helped each other. We were happy and carefree and smiling, and it was just different. And now, we're angry at each other. Our differences of opinion have widened. We seem to be going backwards in our attitudes of tolerance. What happened to us? We were once very close. Remember 9/11 back in 2001, where we all gathered together and held hands across all cultures and all divisions, and we banded together? There was a feeling of being one person. Does it take an extreme tragedy like that for us to bond? Is that where our humanity is? We don't bond unless we're in extreme trouble? What happened to us? What happened to you? I don't think I've changed all that much. Maybe you have. Or maybe the people you know have just gone crazy and gone off in different directions. What happened to us? Us as a relationship in our country, on our planet? What happened? I ask that question because I can. And perhaps we can do some soul searching and repair the damage that has been done. What happened to us? I know. Do you?
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
Oh, well, you already started off weird, so what do you want?
Whatever.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Really?
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the program. Sit back, I'll take it from here. I'll drive, you just relax. Put your feet up, whatever you do in your spare time, whatever, however you relax. What did happen to us? Everybody seems so tense and so defensive and so angry and so divisive and divisive and everything with divisive in it. What happened to us? Do you remember the day when we all like kind of liked each other? That was a while ago. I think it has a lot to do with this president guy who kind of sets the example that if you create waves and animosity and if you're bold and defiant and angry and you yell all the time and you call people names and you cut people off in order to get what you want out of them, you lie to them on a continuous basis that if this is the way the country is being run, you're supposed to be comfortable. I think it's his fault. But it's the fault of us for letting this happen. But it continues. It shall not continue much longer, I guarantee you, because I believe the American people will say, well, even if I agree with this guy's policies, I can't stand his guts. I guess 40% of the country thinks he's okay. That's a somewhat impressive number, but 60% is a lot more impressive than 40%, and a somewhat shaky 40% at that. So if we're going to play percentage games, perhaps very similar to what we did when England ruled this country and we revolted against the king, perhaps that's what we should do here. It's not that necessarily the king had horrible ideas about everything. It's just that the king was a dictator and an asshole. That's all I want to say. I could end the show right here, but I'm not going to. Have I gotten a little bit angrier and crankier? Yes, probably for that reason. Also because I get older every year, which allows me, by law, to be crankier and grumpier. That's the Cranky Grumpy Law of 1962, which was passed by Congress, which says the older you get, the grumpier you can act. For example, if I were a 25-year-old man and I was in a shopping mall and I grabbed a young lady's arm, stopped her, and said, "You are beautiful." The mall cops would come over, arrest me, turn me over to the municipal cops. I would be jailed and slapped with all kinds of fines for lewd and lascivious conduct and also for assault upon a woman against her will, simply by grabbing her arm and saying, "Hey, you're beautiful." 23, 25 years old, you'd be in big trouble. Let's change this now to the Grumpy Law, which says if you're an 85-year-old man, 85, and you're in a mall, and you see a beautiful young lady walk by, if you're 85, you can grab her arm, physically stop her, and say, I just want to tell you, I think you're really beautiful. I don't think you're going to be arrested. I think you're just going to keep on walking and say, "That's adorable. What an adorable old man that was." Or, if you're the young lady, you could complain to the mall cops, and the mall cops would look at you and say, "He's an old man. He's 85 years old. Just come on, leave it alone. He's not going to do any harm."
"But he touched me. He physically assaulted him. He's 85. Come on, he's 85.
That's the law that I'm talking about. I don't know if it's on the books. I believe, again, that that particular law and clause is included in Genesis in the Bible, chapter 6, volume 3, line 27. I recall it, or perhaps I think I recall it. But it's the law. It's the law, nonetheless. It's the law of the land. So it's what I'm talking about. That's so I have a license to be grumpy. And in doing so, I can point out things that I couldn't point out when I was younger because I would be crazy. Now, as a somewhat older guy, people start understanding me. It's interesting. I was grumpy when I was born. My mother said I was colicky. And I say, no, you misunderstood colic for being grumpy. I was born grumpy. I didn't care for the accommodations in the womb. It was a little tight in there. I couldn't move around. I felt restricted. And upon delivery, you cut my cord. You put me in a plastic bassinet. I mean, is this any way to treat me? when I come out? I don't know. I was grumpy all through my life. And now, here's the funny part. All my friends and people I know who used to say through my whole life, Ron, you're pretty grumpy, now are saying to me, you know, Ron, you're right. You got plenty of stuff to be grumpy about. You were ahead of your time, Ron. And I say, yes, but if I was ahead of my time, I'd be clairvoyant, and I'm not. So let me complain about this.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today?
I have complained about this in the past, and I'm going to do it again because it is so instrumental to our society. When I go to a bank, I don't have that much money. The money I do have, I protect it like it's some type of a shell-less turtle. I protect what I have. If I go to the bank and I want to take my money, of which I modestly have, and I want to let this bank take control of my money to put it into a savings account, a CD account, a checking account, whatever it may be, I want that bank official dressed properly. If it's a male, I want you in a three-piece suit. I want you to dress like my money deserves the attention and the notoriety and the respect. I want you, if you're going to handle my money, you better look serious about it. You're not going to be standing there wearing shorts and a polo shirt. No, no, no. No handler of my money is going to dress like that. I want a serious-looking banker who will protect my money with thought and intellect. Not stand there with your shorts open with your penis sticking out of your flap if you're a guy. If you're a woman, I want you looking good too. I want you to look professional and serious. No tight, skin-tight pajama pant jeans kind of thing going on. No tank tops, man. I want you to be dressed like my money matters. And that includes doctors and lawyers and presidents. I don't want to see my president on a golf course. I want to see my president in a suit, looking dapper 24/7. I want my president to go to bed wearing a three-piece suit, because you better take that job seriously. My entire life and the life of all my descendants and ascendants depend on you. It's not a job to be taken lightly. Dress accordingly. When you go to church, does the priest walk out on the altar wearing pastel orange golf pants and a polo shirt with an alligator on the chest? No. Your priest is dressed up with respect, wearing that, whatever that thing is. I don't know the religious name of the costume that they wear. The robes, let's call it. Priest doesn't come out in ripped jeans and a t-shirt to preach the words of the gospel. They dress accordingly. Now, I'm not a big churchgoer unless I'm paid to go. And I do remember a time when people used to dress up to go to church. It was Sunday, and I would drive by these churches, some of them very modest, some of them cathedral-like. But outside, I'd see the men wearing suits and ties, jacket and tie. And you could tell it was the only day of the week that they did wear a jacket and tie, but they wore them because that was Sunday. And you dressed your kids up in their finest clothes because they're going to church, to a place of respect with other people that are going to a place of respect. And the women would wear their finest dresses, conservatively worn, of course, not above the knee, no crotch hairs being shown there. Maybe even a hat. That was a little much, I thought, but maybe even a little hat. But they dressed for Sunday church. because there was respect. Watch people going into church now on a Sunday or a Saturday, wearing jeans and t-shirts. What happened to us? How did that boundary of respect get broken down? Let me tell you something. You may say, Ron, that's so superficial, but let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. When you dress up, you feel it. You feel the importance because you're important enough to look good. Now, I'm not saying you look like that every day. I certainly don't. But when you go out in public and you do something of any type of public concern, you dress up. Let me give you another example of that. If you're going to Walmart to go shopping, and I don't know why you would, but if you do, you have to put on the ceremonial pajama pants, the plaid ones at that, the ones that are dirty that you haven't washed in 6 years. Ironically, you're not going to Walmart to buy more pajama pants. I have to dress down to go into Walmart, otherwise I think perhaps I'll be jumped by somebody because I look too good. On the other hand, if you're going to a department store like Nordstrom's or Lord & Taylor, these higher-end department stores, people actually dress up to go shopping. Yes, they say, I'm going to Nordstrom's. I have to look good. I have to put my nice clothes on because I'm going to a high-end department store. That's more important to people to dress up for that than it is to go to church or to go out in public to some restaurant or something like that. What happened to us? What happened to our self-respect, the way that we think about ourselves? What happened to us? I don't know. You keep stretching those boundaries and you have no boundaries anymore. What happened to what we teach our children? When they're playing sports, to have respect for the other team, it's not winning or losing, it's playing the game and having a good time and all that stuff, and don't yell profanities at people and don't bully people in the schoolyard and don't put people down, don't call them names, be respectful of your neighbor. Honor your partner, your partner in your corner. That's even in a do-si-do square dance rule. What happened to us? What are we teaching our children? To look like the guy who's sitting in the White House? To act like him? Is that comfortable for you? What happened to us? Let's all make a pact. Let's start treating each other with a smile, a respect, and let's try to change the world around us accordingly. Let's try to hold hands. Let's understand, as many great leaders have said in the past, united we stand, divided we fall. Guess what? We're falling, and we're falling fast. And I'm looking for somebody to stand up and say, hey, this isn't going to happen anymore. This is bad. If Jesus is going to make a return visit, I'll pick him up. I mean, let's get it on. Let's get some soothsayer to come down from the mountain and say, hey, this is all crap. No more crap. We're done with the crap. This is the moment of truth. We're getting rid of the crap. Let's plan for a gigantic garbage pickup to get rid of the garbage. I'll pay. What happened to us? What are you wearing?
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today?
Yes, of course, you could have a podcast show host who's congenial and conversational and talks to you like you're both on the same level and discussing the issues of the day. But come on, isn't having a grumpy old bastard who hates just about friggin' everything way better? This is the Ron Van Dam Show.
You think we're hard to find? I don't think so. You can find the Ron Van Dam Show, the show of which I speak, has my name involved in it. You can find us on SoundCloud, on the Podbean network. That's the network that houses well over 1,000 of our episodes. You can listen at any time to any of them on the Podbean network, the Ron Van Dam Show. Or you can go to iTunes, TuneIn Radio, even YouTube actually has our shows on a daily basis. They go right from the radio to the YouTube immediately every day. And we're also on that Amazon Alexa thing. All of that. So, in many automatic flushing toilet bowls, as soon as you lift the lid, our show will start. Yeah, we're all over the place. Yeah, that's what we are. If you wish to contact me, don't bother. The email thing is ronvandamshow@gmail.com. ronvandamshow@gmail.com. If you want to be a guest on the program, perhaps you've written a book, invented something of incredible interest, you can contact us. You might be able to come on the show, maybe not. Or maybe you have a question or a topic that you wish me to cover on the program. That's also probably not going to happen. That's ronvandamshow@gmail.com. Be kind. Let me introduce some of the people that make this show possible. Here we go. First of all, there's a lovely and talented John Shanahan, who does our announcing, our comedy commercials, our little comedy introductions, all that kind of stuff. He's a brilliant comedian, performer, and writer, and I'm so damn proud to have him on this program. And then also, Jason Shaw. He writes the original music that's performed on this show. He wrote the opening theme, and he's performing and writing. He wrote for this show, this thing that you're listening to right now. Jason Shaw, thank you so much. Nicole Reed, she does a lot of our special interview booking. She's the British voice that you hear at the beginning of the program. Nicole, thank you. And there are a couple of other people that I just really don't care to mention. And then there's you. What's up with that? Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. We have a great performer coming up. She's a comedian, and there's a big comedy show happening. So we're going to talk about that. She's a great multicultural comedian, as a matter of fact. She talks about all different things. She's going to join us in just a few seconds. Maya DiGiorgio is going to join us. She's very, very funny. And that would be fun, too. And, well, let's talk to her right now, okay? Maya.
Hey, Ron. How are you?
I'm great. Maya DiGiorgio joins us now. She is an incredible comedian from my hometown of New York City. And she's just like taking America by storm here. Congratulations to you.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be a part of your show today.
Well, you should be. So that's proper. Okay, I'm only kidding. You know, after your long career, this becomes the pinnacle. I don't know if that's a good idea. But nonetheless, I appreciate it. Anyway, Lipstick and Laughter is what we're talking about, which is a very interesting festival of comedians who have an interesting background. Now, you're have like a multicultural background, I understand.
Yes, I'm half Italian and I'm half black.
Okay. And
which is a terrible combination. Well, terrible combination. you should see our Thanksgivings. It's a constant battle.
Now I understand how you got into comedy. Okay. All right. Plenty of material. So explain what Lipstick and Laughter is. It's a celebration of that, isn't it?
Yes, actually it is. It's going to be part of the Essence Festival. Mm-hmm. It is it benefits IWES, which is an Institute of Women and Ethnic Studies, and it's a nonprofit based in New Orleans after Katrina, mm-hmm. which focuses on building healthy and resilient communities, focusing on uniting people of color and all different backgrounds in some humor.
Great.
So it's great to be part of something that's so positive, because comedy sometimes can just, people are just picking on each other and tearing each other apart.
Yes.
This is something that's really intelligent comedy and bringing folks together. So I'm just really looking forward to it. Plus the food, because it's New Orleans.
Oh, well. So. Well, a little salty, but still good stuff. Anyway. I'm serious. I went there once. It was like, wow, you people love salt here, don't you? It's incredible. But really good food.
Yeah.
Really good food, though. Okay.
Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah. Well, this is great. I mean, you know, it's great that we know our differences and that we can smile about it with each other as opposed to what the administration is telling us. But I don't want to get into that right now. all right. So this is taking place. When is this happening, by the way?
This is happening on July 5th
okay.
at the Joy Theater in New Orleans
right.
during the Essence Festival.
Okay. All right. So there's plenty of time to get tickets and to get down there?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be incredible. I have people flying in from all over that I know, because it's an entire, you know, you have a festival that's going on at the same time, and this is the highlight show of the festival.
Yeah.
So, I am actually, like I said, I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Very excited. Anyone says you just want to go to New Orleans, let alone to perform in a beautiful theater. So
very nice. So how did you get involved with this particular Institute of Women and Ethnic Studies? Was it something that you sought out? They came after you? What happened?
No, actually, they found me. Uh-huh. I have been the opener for the comedian Sinbad.
Oh, yeah.
So I had been on the road with him and one of the producers of the Martha's Vineyard Festival, which I'm going to be at in August in Martha's Vineyard.
Oh, cool.
He called me up and said, I have this thing in New Orleans. You know, would you be interested? And, you know, what I'm enjoying is that I'm finding this group of just hilarious performers that are really dedicated to, you know, good art and people having a good time. And being intelligent while they can do it. Because I came through a lot of, you know, came up as a hip-hop comedian, and it just got a little out of hand.
Yeah.
People were just, some people graduated from it that became major stars, and some people just got trapped. And I find, like, there's so much negativity in so many different markets.
Right.
Like I said, for me, I'm just enjoying just people just getting together and laughing. Like you even said, you were talking about the...
Yeah.
People being able to come from so many different walks of life. You know, we used to be able to watch, those Norman Lear films, All in the Family and Good Times, and watching people come from different backgrounds, and ultimately they find humor in their diversity as opposed to saying we need to be all alike, but is celebrating our differences and saying we're all equal, but we just have different experiences and.
Yeah.
Many of that that creates a lot of comedy. So
it's funny because I mean I'm from New York as you are, and New York's a very different place because there everybody lives with cultures every day and they embrace it. Both I love cuisine wise, but I mean it just you'd feel empty if there wasn't multicultural urban kind of life. That's just what it is, and that's what you celebrate. But then you go outside of New York City and not necessarily so much.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's also a tough time finding something good to eat because of it.
Yes.
Gotta eat the same thing all the time.
I know.
But New York, the beauty of New York, beauty of New York is if they don't like you on one block, you know you can just walk more block over and
that's
find
right.
your group.
That's right. Right. But everybody's all over everything now, and that's great. Okay, so your humor basically comes from life experiences, I assume.
Absolutely. Mostly family. I mean, you know what, one of the things I feel like I'm really blessed with is that I can discuss different cultures from being from the Asian families to the Black families, mm-hmm. the Italian ethnics coming to America, immigrant to my boarding school in Greenwich, Connecticut, which was all upper class white, and yeah. having to live right. amongst everybody. I feel like I got everybody in my family. I'm related to everybody. You know, I have a Korean aunt, an old world Sicilian grandmother, an yeah. Irish stepmother, a Black mother. I don't know if I'm supposed to be passive-aggressive, passive-passive, aggressive-aggressive, or slave-slave. My Italian grandmother's always trying to make a slave out of me. Always, cook this, it's better this way, and don't do that. And I'm like, okay, I can't. Bring more food to the table. I'm like, all right, I think we're emancipated, Grandma. What's it? Come as a cam, emancipated. Like, all right, okay.
Well, that sounds like fun, sort of. But I'd love to see your act. It sounds like you're a lot of fun. So how do we get more information about this this great journey that you're doing here?
Well, you can follow so many, from my personal journey, you can follow me on any of the social media platforms. Okay. My name is Maya, which is spelled M-A-I-J-A. Mm-hmm. Returns, I use just because I'm returning to comedy.
Okay.
And you can follow anything for the tickets. You can go to the Joy Theater, joytheater.com, or follow us at Lipstick and Laughter, which has got an N in it, Lipstick and Laughter, uh-huh. on Instagram or any other social media. And they also have, you know, Lipstick and Laughter is the sponsor mm-hmm. that is the safe beauty products that are celebrating women of color, because lots of times I can go into a beauty shop too myself, and people will think I'm white when I walk in, and they try to put a color on me, and they say, you're not. And it took me years to discover I was champagne beige. I'm champagne beige.
Nice.
So, yeah, so when you're trying to match colors on your face, you don't yeah. realize that you got to find, you know, so this is great. It's a makeup for women of all different complexions.
I see.
And laughter.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, the world is a box of crayons. They also like crayon colors, don't they? I don't know. All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. we're running a little short of time. That's how you can reach her. Go to YouTube and watch some of her videos and performances. It's great speaking to you.
Oh, thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Maya. You too. Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Maya DiGiorgio, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us. And thank you as well. Oh, nice of you to stop by. Do it again when another weekday rolls around. Will you do that? And we'll do a brand new show, and I won't even charge you any money. Well, I guess I can't. Whatever, we can talk about it. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.